This is DZPN, the Drunken Zombie Podcasting Network.
Hello, this is Sylvia Schultz, your host for Lights Out. Some of you might wonder, in odd moments, what it is that I do when I'm not out chasing ghosts, or hanging out in morgues, or sitting in haunted cemeteries. Well, I do like to go camping, and I belong to a group called Zombie Squad. ZS is a disaster preparedness awareness group that does quite a lot of education in the community. They do blood drives, help build houses for Habitat for Humanity, and generally help folks plan for being prepared for disasters. And they do all this against the backdrop of the coming zombie apocalypse. After all, the ZS philosophy goes, if you're prepared for the zombie apocalypse, you're prepared for just about anything. But we also know how to have fun. Every year, some of us ZS folks brave the wilderness and go camping. We spend a lovely long weekend splashing in the swimming hole, affectionately called Man Bath, to distinguish it from Snake Bath, which is located farther downstream, cooking over a campfire, and drinking our weight in beer. There are classes covering topics like knife sharpening, wilderness first aid, CB radios, wild plant identification, making a working bow from PVC pipe, and making cheese in camp. The hillside is steep, so steep that most people string hammocks rather than pitching tents. It's so steep that you have to put your brats on the grill pointing north-south, because if you put them east-west, they all roll down to the edge of the fire pit. It's so steep that one end of the table has its legs buried 4 inches in the dirt, and one end has its legs stacked up on rocks. But it's important to have that table there, because that is where the projector is set up. And after dark, we fire up the generator and watch zombie movies until the wee hours. But sometimes you need a break from the carnage and gnashing zombie jaws on the screen. That's when you take your chair and carry it down to the campfire. Everyone's pretty much done cooking for the evening, although there may be one straggler stirring a recalcitrant pot of rice with a spork by the light of a headband flashlight. There's always someone to talk to down by the fire. Not everyone is watching the movie. There always seems to be a full moon at ZombieCon. We never plan it that way. That's just how it works out. So pull up a chair. We'll sit together in the moonlight. I'll throw another chunk of cedar on the fire and pass you a freshly baked loaf of bread. It just came out of the Dutch oven. Break yourself off a hunk. Watch your fingers, it's hot. And let's listen to the stories people are sharing around the campfire as we go lights out.
But, while I was working there, which I haven't been there for nearly a year now. While I was working there, there was a lot of instances where I'd work really late. And I exited by a door that was on a loading dock, and all the power switches to turn off all the lights in the warehouse were way at the other end of the building. So I'd have to walk through there in the dark just by flashlight. And it seemed like it was always okay when the lights were on, and then as soon as the lights went off, everything, like, started creaking and moaning. It's a 120-year-old building, so
yeah.
I mean, you gotta expect some stuff, you know, to just make noise. But there was definitely presences there.
Yeah,
you would always feel like people right behind you. And where my office was right at the end of a pretty long hallway, and I swear I always heard footsteps coming down the hallway to my office. And what my office actually used to be was, they had a big meat locker, because I guess during Prohibition, whenever all the breweries had to start doing other stuff, they ran a slaughterhouse out of there. They were, you know, freezing and hanging meat and all that stuff. So I was in the old, like, meat packer manager office. It was down this hall, and there was this big open walk-in cooler next to it that still had the big meat hooks hanging from it and everything, which was really super creepy. But yeah, there's always a lot more activity at night than during the day, obviously, you know. The latest I ever worked was probably 2 in the morning, and it got so freaky just sitting in my office, I had to leave.
I left all the lights on. My boss yelled at me the next day. There's no way I'm walking across this whole warehouse with the lights off.
Even
with a flashlight, it's just too freaky. Because working in the haunted house industry, we have all these props everywhere. So there's zombies and monsters everywhere anyway. So walking around there with a flashlight just scares the shit out of you anyway.
Yup.
But, we were working in there. It was over a weekend. And we heard there's two elevators on just setting our office on each side. Mm-hmm. One was the regular elevator. One was the freight elevator. We heard all this screaming coming from the freight elevator. And it freaked us out. We didn't even want to go look because we figured it was some crazy ghost stuff going on.
Yeah.
But what had happened was a guy who was working for AT&T was working on the roof, went to take the elevator down. The elevator had moved floors inexplicably while he was working, and he fell like six stories into the sub-basement and broke several bones in his body.
Oh, geez.
We ended up, luckily, we were there. We called the, emergency services. They came and got him out. He lived. But it was the exact same elevator shaft that one of the Lemp brothers committed suicide through. So as soon as it was all done, because the guy was telling us the story after, like, we went and saw him in the hospital and everything, really nice guy. And he was like, I had that elevator not only left on that floor that I was working on, but I turned the power key off and made sure that it wouldn't go anywhere while I was working because of safety protocol.
Yeah.
And when he went to step back on the elevator, it wasn't there. And he just went.
Oh, my gosh.
So, yeah, we were immediately like, dun, dun, dun. It had to have been the ghost of the Lemp brother that did it.
Yeah.
But, there was always something like that going on. Some noise or you walk into a room, it was inexplicably freezing cold for some reason.
Wow.
All the video we ever took in there had tons of orbs in it. I mean, all over the place. It was a really super spooky place to work. I liked it a lot.
Cool.
I used to work at the Lemp as well many moons ago.
Okay.
But it wasn't like that side of the Lemp. Mikey actually worked in the Lemp brewery. I worked in the stables.
Okay.
And one of the things that you don't really hear much of, there was a little girl that was actually trampled.
Mm.
She was like a distant relative's kid that was from the Lemp mansion or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And the stables aren't anywhere. It's, pretty far away from the actual brewery and manor and all that shit.
Mm.
But yeah, the little girl was actually getting in with the horses and was playing with them.
Mm.
And one of them, she had let out of the stable.
Mm.
And it trampled her and she died.
Oh, no.
Well, every once in a while they said that, you would see stuff there. I never saw anything or heard anything, which that's really odd for me.
Mm-hmm.
They see and hear almost everything. It's ridiculous. But there was one night, I didn't see her or anything like that, but I was sitting there in the stairwell, and we just built this scene for the haunted house.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sitting there, and I had to go upstairs and kill the power to, the whole place so we could see.
Mm-hmm.
Because we had all the lights in the scene. They wanted to see what it looked without the overhead lights.
Gotcha.
I was sitting there, and I got upstairs, killed the power to the whole place, and I heard somebody come up the stairwell, and I was like, oh, hey, guys,
mm-hmm.
Who's up here with me? They're like, nobody. I was like, oh, yeah, quit fucking around, guys. Who's up here with me? They're like, dude, nobody's up there with you. I was like, all right, Joe. He's like, I'm down here, buddy. Joe. Same. And is Dave there? Me too, dude. Who the fuck's up here with me? did anybody want to come downstairs? I'm like, right.
Oh, man.
And one night, just out of pure shits and giggery, I decided to sleep inside. And they're like, oh, yeah, dude, nobody sleeps in here. There's mm-hmm. weird shit that goes on.
Mm-hmm.
And I swear to all the things that I've ever heard in my life, at about 3 o'clock in the morning, I heard ballroom dancing. This is before the ballroom floor.
Wow!
Like, I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden you just hear this old ragtimey music, and then you just hear, like, a bunch of footsteps. Like, people are dancing on hardwood floors.
Oh, how lovely.
I laid in there. I didn't sleep But, there was, like, we ended up, like, going out for breakfast the next day at, like, 7 o'clock in the morning, and there was, like, a wedding crew that came in, and they started setting shit up, and they got in there about, you know, 6:30 or whatever. We rolled out of there, came back, and a lady was like, oh, yeah, you guys are the guys from Haunted House. We're like, yeah, how's it going? She's like, yeah, you know, I heard you guys, you know, playing around this morning. We're like, what do you mean? She's like, you know, all the, like, you know, the noise and the effects and the sounds and, like, all that stuff going. I was like, dude, the house is shut down. What are you talking about? She's like, no, you guys were in there. You guys are totally there. We heard you. And I was like, no. We have the keys. We weren't in there. There's no way that's in there. There's no way you can get in there. If you wanted to get into it, you'd have to, like, jump off the catwalk, which is a good 12, 15 foot drop off into the warehouse. There's nobody in there. She just looked at us, frowned, and went on her merry little way. She swore we were lying to her. But, that wasn't us. Don't know what you heard, lady, but it was not us. That's like the only shit that's ever happened to me around the limp.
Okay.
The house was located, it's still there. It was built in like the early 20s or so. Uh-huh. It was located in Hillsboro, Missouri. And, I mean, I guess like the real interesting things were, it was originally owned by, Virginia, I believe her name was Virginia Henley or something like that. But when my parents were raising me and my sister, every once in a while we'd just like talk about, oh, hey mom, there goes the guy in the overalls again. And she'd be like, who? Oh, the man in the overalls. He's in the basement. You know, he hangs out there. So I was like, oh, okay. Well, I hope he's having a good time down there.
How old were you when you were telling your mom this?
Oh, it was me and my sister. We were like, you know, 3, 4, 5 years old in that age range.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you know, stuff like that was like always going on. And probably one of the coolest stories that my mom still tells to this very day was the house still had skeleton keys. Like, all the locks, you know, had skeleton locks and whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
I doubt that's, like, the technical name for it. But anyway, so one day she was just, like, talking to my dad, and she's like, wow, that'd be really cool to find a key that would fit these locks.
Mm-hmm.
And she kept going to, like, you know, yard sales, garage sales, all sorts of stuff, antique places, trying to find skeleton keys that would fit in the locks. And she'd go through and, you know, check them all out, and she'd just have, like, a pile of them in her shoebox or a drawer or whatever. And then one day, and she ran an in-home daycare.
Okay.
And one day, this mom, you know, dropped off her two kids, and they went downstairs into the basement and turned on the TV, and my mom went down there to, like, check on them. And they look, and there's this skeleton key sitting on top of the TV. And my mom was like, did you guys leave this? And I'm like, no, it was sitting there when we got here. And I was like, all right, cool, you know, whatever. And she, like, throughout the day, you know, she went to see if anybody would say anything about it. And she kept asking all these parents, hey, did your kids, like, bring skeleton keys or anything like that? And they're like, no, we don't know any of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, like, you know, end of the week or so, I mean, she let it go out for a couple days or something like that. And end of the week, she just got a little curious, and she put it in one of the locks, and it turned, and it locked all the doors.
Every single one? Wow.
Every single one in the house. There were various things that would happen in the house, like, this is going to sound really cheap and cheesy, but if you've ever seen the movie, Paranormal Activity, where, like, at, like, close to the very end, there was one scene that really gave me a pucker moment because I'd experienced it myself.
Okay.
Me and my dad were upstairs, and, like, we had, it was an added-on part of the house, and we were sitting there. there just, like, you know, doing father-son stuff. I think we may have even been playing the original Nintendo, the NES system. And we're just sitting there, and, like, our dog's sitting right next to us, and then all of a sudden you just hear this loud crash in the house. Like, this big boom. And, I mean, it, like, rattled windows. It was so boom. Like, something big happened inside the house. And the dog yelped and went under the bed. And we both kind of, like, hit the pause button and stared at each other for a minute. And we both physically jumped. We're like, whoa, what the hell was that? And we put the dog on a leash to come downstairs with us, and the dog would not come downstairs. So we picked up the dog, and he was, like, yelping and carrying on. And we got him downstairs, and it was somewhere, like, around the living room. He lost his shit, broke the collar, and ran back upstairs.
Oh, jeez.
Done. That was it. Like, didn't find anything. Nothing hit the house. No reason why that big, huge noise happened.
Oh, man.
But, I'd have to say, like, somewhere in my teens, stuff started picking up quite a bit. My mom made, like, whenever we were kids, she made matching porcelain dolls of me and my sister. And I had this little shelf that, you know, little trinkets would sit on, and this porcelain doll sat on it. And, I mean, all of it was highly breakable stuff. Well, one day, I told my mom that, I was sitting at the top of the stairs, and I told her, you know, I don't really have spirits that live here. I'm going to sit here until I see one. And I'm kind of laughing. She's like, well, good luck with that. So I sat there, and the pantry was right behind me, and I would just, would get food, and I would sit at the top of the stairs. So it was always like an eerie feeling about the basement.
Okay.
So, and we even had this one room. It was called the dark room. Nobody liked to go into it because it just gave you this really odd, eerie feel. And I was like, F this noise. I'm going to sit here until I see something. And I never saw anything.
Never?
But, well, that night I didn't see anything. But that shelf, there was a painting that had been sitting a good ways up from the shelf. It had been on the wall a good 10, 15 years or so. A good 10 years. Let's just say 10 years.
Okay.
And we're sitting there, and I'm sitting there, like, looking down the stairwell, and I'm waiting for something to happen, and that's when something happened. The painting had come off the wall, hit what I thought may have been the shelf or whatever, and everything on that shelf came crashing down. Now, this is all, you know, coincidental.
Yeah.
And, I mean, my mom just came running in, and she looks at me, she's like, what'd you do? I was like, nothing. I'm still sitting at the top of the stairs. And we both, like, go into my bedroom, and we look, and we couldn't figure out where this crash came from, where this noise came from. So we're looking around, and all of a sudden we realize, oh, the painting fell off the wall. Oh, damn, it hit the shelf. And we started looking, and all the breakables were just fine. Except for the porcelain doll of myself. The whole head was smashed. Which, again, I mean, that's... And we still never figured out how it, like, came off the wall or anything. Like, the nail was still there. The hook that it was hanging from was still on the back of the painting. We never, like, there was no physical evidence why this thing had fallen off the shelf.
Oh, jeez.
So, I mean, it was whatever. But it was still very eerie. The only thing that broke was the actual porcelain doll, and it was the head that was just shattered. I was like, oh, that's shitty. Anyway, I had lived in the house for 17 years. Mm-hmm. My parents had lived there for 27 years. And they had a divorce, and things were going wrong. And it was really weird because we were moving out, and I started going down towards the basement. And, I mean, all the TVs were out. All the furniture was out. All that stuff. And it was all just knick-knacky stuff. And I had gone down into the basement, and I turned out the bathroom light in the basement, and I turned around. And it was the second time I'd seen a full-figure apparition in the house. And it was like, have you ever seen like TV static? Like a white snow?
Yeah.
It looked like a full figure of that. Like the TV static just walked right across the doorway.
And it wasn't like
a shadow though. That was what was so weird. Like it was TV static had just walked right across the doorway. And I mean, I just talk about it right now, I'm still getting goosebumps every time I tell that story. And here's the really bad thing too. Whenever I talk about this stuff is whenever it starts happening again in my life.
Oh,
like,
no.
I shouldn't have been talking about it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm used to it. I've dealt with this, you know, a lot in my life. But yeah, we moved. Like, everything that we knew was anchored into that house. But that house and also across the street was a Methodist church.
Okay.
Well, the Methodist church, it moved locations, but the building was still there. Well, nobody in town wanted to buy, you know, the old Methodist church except for some guy outside of town looked at it as an opportunity. He said, oh, well, that's great. It's an old abandoned church. I could buy that and turn that into a funeral home.
Oh.
Okay, cool. And remember whenever I told you when things started picking up and I started noticing more things?
Yeah.
Was in my early teens?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Robert D. Brown Funeral Home moved in 1993.
Oh.
I was 13 whenever they moved in. So, whether, you know, these apparitions were just walking right across the street?
Sure.
Don't know. But, there were times where, Bob, the neighbor, Robert E. Brown, Bob would ask me to come over and babysit because he'd get a call and he'd have to go out on a call. Well, I would sit there and his son, who at that time was about 3 or 4 years old, he would talk about, hey, it's that man.
Now you know how your mom felt.
Well, and the thing was, too, like, the funeral home itself had a basement, and the basement was where the family lived. They lived inside the funeral home.
Okay.
And I mostly watched him over at the funeral home. And all of a sudden, like, he would talk about, you know, oh, there's that man. And I'm like, all right, yeah, cool, you know, my mom did that stuff, yeah, yeah. And I mean, it always had like an interesting chill to it, but one of the beautiful chilling situations was this was about the time that they started having baby monitors becoming popular.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And, you know, they'd say, all right, you know, we got to go out on a call. You know, if you could sit here and watch him, you know, he's in bed. He went to bed at 9 o'clock. Yeah, just, you know, make sure that he's in bed. You can listen to baby monitor. Okay, cool. They had monitors set up all over the place.
Okay.
And you would hear footsteps upstairs, and you'd hear somebody whistling. And it would carry from one monitor to the next monitor in the next room, and the next monitor in the next room, and I mean, you could hear it. It was crazy, because, like, you could hold the monitors, and you could tell that it was coming in stereo. And then all of a sudden, it would just, like, fade out from the far one to the one that's coming up, and you could just hear this person whistling all throughout the whole upstairs, and you're like, shit just got real.
Oh my gosh.
My favorite story from that house was my mom. I ended up moving my bed from upstairs, and I moved it down into the basement. Noticed the trend. But yeah, she said that, you know, she had just got home, and she called it down to the basement, you know, see if I wanted breakfast. And she heard, she went into the bathroom and, you know, did whatever. And then she heard me come up the stairs, into the kitchen, open the refrigerator, and then go up onto the second floor and walk up into what used to be my old bedroom.
Okay.
And she went up there and she called out to me and she opened up the bedroom door and I wasn't there. She was trying to figure out where I was.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, I wasn't home.
Oh, I was guessing you were in your basement bedroom, but you weren't even home at all.
I wasn't home at all.
Wow.
I actually fucked over at my girlfriend's house that night.
Oh my gosh.
My van was there, but I wasn't home.
Okay.
She picked me up in her Mustang, and we went back and crashed over her place. Her parents were out of town.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know how that situation works.
Oh, anyway, yeah.
Yeah, those stories, kids. But yeah, I wasn't even home.
Man.
In that same house, I have friends that, I mean, I can't really, you know, vouch for this or verify this one, but
okay.
I have friends that said that, you know, they would come up and they'd ring the doorbell and they'd wait and they'd see me come up to the door and somebody would come up to the door and then walk away.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, again, totally incidental, you know, nothing that big or whatever, but,
okay.
So, one night, this was whenever the Blair Witch Project came out.
Okay, yeah.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And, God, I know Jefferson County PD must have hated me for this one. But, I'm sitting there, and we had, you know, a big bay window right behind me, and we had this couch that was in front of the big bay window.
Mm-hmm.
Terrible placement, totally not feng shui. Anyway, but yeah, we had the big screen TV right in front of the couch. And I'm sitting there, I'm watching the TV, and I'm watching it, it's getting all intense, and you know, oh, they lost the map, oh, this is crazy, this movie's, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I already knew that it was fake.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody knew the whole story, whatever. I finally got around to watching it.
Gotcha.
And we're getting close to the end, and all of a sudden, like, I get this glowing reflection in the TV.
Mm.
And it's coming from the deck right behind me, which is, we got a big bay window that faces the deck.
Uh-huh.
And whatever this bright white light was on the deck, and then you just hear this loud explosion, like this loud pop.
Oh. Okay.
And, I mean, you would think it was like a big firework or something like that, but I mean, it was loud. I played with fireworks. I know what a firework sounds like. This was explosively loud.
Mm.
And a big, bright, white light, like hot white light, right behind me. And I about shit my pants. I ran out that front door. I had the cordless phone. I called 911. I was like, yeah, no, I need somebody to help me get back into the house. Something just blew up on my back deck. So, of course, the cop comes out there, and we start investigating. And there's no burn marks, no nothing. We're looking all over this, you know, wood deck. Absolute wood. It was on the deck. Something bright white just exploded right behind me. And nothing was there. There was no sign of any physical damage, destruction, nothing. And we're looking, like, all around the woods right behind me, all that stuff. He's like, well, maybe it came from the highway. Nope. Highway is about another mile on the other side of the woods there, buddy.
Oh, crazy.
So, and that was that house. Well, I was hit with an ultimatum of, you know, my mom's selling the house, she's getting remarried, you know, time to move on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Either move in with my mom or find a place on my own. I'm 18. Sure, whatever. So I end up moving to U City.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when shit got really weird because I had one roommate that she swore there was a man that looked almost like me that would follow me around.
Oh, that's weird.
I'm like, what? She's like, yeah, like, there's a guy that I always see going to your bedroom, but it's not you. He has facial hair. And he follows you. Like, you'll leave, and then a couple minutes later, he'll leave.
That is so bizarre.
And I'm like, all right, what drugs are you on? She's like, no, it's weird, because, like, you have a goatee, and he has a mustache. But he follows you. And he's wearing, like, olden clothes. Like, old-time clothes. Like, really?
That is nutty.
So, and I mean, there were times, like, in that apartment, we'd just be, like, you know, she would have her bedroom at the far end and my bedroom would be at the other, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you'd hear something, like, go into the bathroom and close the door.
Mm.
Every once in a while, you'd just be, like, sitting in bed and the shower would turn on. I ended up moving in with a friend of mine.
Mm-hmm.
And a friend of mine worked IT. And while I was working IT, like, there were times that he'd have to go out of town and I'd have to watch his dog.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the first time I had, like, since my youth that I'd ever, you know, had to experience a dog.
Mm-hmm.
Living with one.
Right.
And his dog hated being around me. The dog was a black lab.
Okay.
And, I mean, it was a real nice, sweet dog. And one night, like, his name was Riley.
Mm-hmm.
And one night, I'm laying in bed, and Dave, he's gone. And Riley is just in the hallway, just barking.
Mm.
And Riley never barked. I mean, he would just kind of, like, growl a little bit, like, or something like that. But this dog was full-on gnashing teeth, barking loudly.
Jeez.
And, like, he's backing up in the hallway, like, past my door. And I'm like, what the hell is wrong with Riley? And, I mean, he's just, like, full-on just barking madly. And I'm just like, holy shit. So, and this is about the time that I started getting into firearms. And I like, pulled my gun.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm ready. I'm just like, what's up, boy? What's going on? I got a flashlight. And I start sweeping the house, and something had gotten in between me and Riley in the hallway.
Mm.
And he lost his shit. He went from full on barking and going crazy to whimpering and tucking tail.
Oh.
And I'm like, whoa. I'm doing the house clean. I'm checking the house, and it, like, there was a room at the end of the hallway,
mm-hmm.
and he was about, like, Riley was about to that room, backing up into the room, just barking, and my bedroom was on the left side, Dave's bedroom was up and to the right, there was a bathroom, and I just checked Dave's room, and I was getting ready to check the bathroom, and that's whenever Riley tucked tail and started whimpering and went back into the room, and I'm like... What in the hell just happened?
Wow.
And that was the only time I had experienced anything like that, except for there was one time Dave had gotten into some financial problems, and he put the house up on the market, and I'm sitting there one night, like, one of the doors opened.
Mm.
Like, the back patio door, the sliding door had opened.
Mm.
There's a bar that's in the way, which, you know, a good thief knows how to break into a house and get past the bar.
Yeah.
Well, the bar was missing, and the door was open. But nobody would come in.
Huh.
So, I mean, I could chalk that up to someone trying to break in.
Yeah.
About a night after that, I missed some shit right out of, like, Michael Myers Halloween. Riley loses his shit again.
Okay.
That's the second time I'd ever seen the dog, like, just growling, barking, going crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And I go outside, and I look. I got into the bedroom, and he was, like, facing a window, and he was barking and growling at something. And I looked outside, and there was nothing.
Mm.
And then I told him to shut up, you know, everything would be okay. Went back to the bedroom, went back to the Facebooks, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And he's going crazy. And about that time, I come back in to yell at him again, and there's somebody in the yard. Like, in the yard. Maybe 10 feet away from the house, staring up at him. And then I ended up pointing a flashlight on this person, and it was like they acknowledged me, but, you know, they didn't, like, really look at me or anything like that. I'm like, yeah, get going.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't move. So I turned the flashlight off and go out front to confront this person, and I had a gun on me at the time.
Yeah.
And they weren't there. And then Riley's still going crazy. I'm like, okay. So then I'm getting a crazy, and the guy is right at the window.
Holy crap. Whoa.
I mean, he is like, and we're on the second floor.
Oh, shit.
At the window, looking in at the dog.
Oh, shit. Oh, my God.
And Riley is, like, barking his ass off. And I pulled the gun, and I started pointing it, and whenever I pulled the flashlight, the guy was gone.
Oh,
I
mean, man.
I can't verify that that was, like, you know, any type of apparition or, you know, whatever. But it was definitely an eerie situation that, you know, hey, I've got a flashlight, and I got this gun, and as soon as I pulled the flashlight, the figure, the guy is, like, instantly gone. Taken off, not a trace of him in the yard or anything. I like ran up on the window, start looking out, and he's not there. I'm like, did he drop down and run around the house? I mean, I would have seen bushes moving, something.
Yeah.
Nope. But I mean, it's the second floor, and the guy was right there at the window. I'm like, what the f?
You are making chills go down my spine right now.
Like, he would have had to have done, like, he would have had to have, like, run up into the yard, done a pull-up onto the window with the screen still there.
Yeah.
And looked in at Riley. Small stuff like that. And every once in a while, I'll just, like, be walking around the house and I'll catch stuff out of the corner of my eye. Oh, one of my favorites. So, okay. In the basement, I've got everything set up. I've got, like, you know, big screen TV, you know, PS3, Xbox 360.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got these flags that I have dangling in the basement.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got a British, an Irish, a Canadian flag, and they're all down there. They're all draping. And every once in a while, I'll just be sitting there, and there's no vents or anything around it. I'm sitting there playing video games, and out of the corner of my eye, I will see one flag start moving, the next flag move, and the next flag move, all three in a row. Like something just walked by them. Like a brisk wind just went by them.
Wow.
I'm like, dude, no vents in that side of the house.
Man.
That's weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I'm sitting here telling you this, and I just heard a couple footsteps.
Oh, boy.
Hold on.
Sure.
Yeah. Another night of routine flashlight checks.
Okay.
Hold on.
Okay.
Oh, I got you on the phone. It's just, I'm checking, because that's weird. It's just weird because, like, I'm sitting here telling you this stuff. I've got my headphones in.
Uh-huh.
And I mean, both ears are plugged. I'm talking to you.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, like, I just heard steps. So they had to be loud enough. They had to be loud enough that I heard them over my headphones.
Yeah. So is is anybody there?
No one so far. I'd be really weird if there was somebody. I think I actually would prefer that there wouldn't be anybody there. I'd like it to be, you know, me hearing shit as always. That would be more appropriate. Because if I actually do see somebody, that's when I was like, all right, so...
That's going to be a big letdown.
we might be hearing some gunshots here soon. Nope. All right. Bathrooms are clear. Yep, bathrooms. All right, side room. Yep. And this is, I mean, this typically happens. I'll just be sitting around, all of a sudden, hear a couple footsteps, and, you know, other side of the house.
Wow. So that happened as we were sitting here talking.
I think this might be the first time I've ever, like, had it while I'm, like, talking on the phone, especially the first time. I've just been, like, you know, sitting here talking on the phone and heard something over my... Oh, crap.
What?
I just find something. Oh, man. This is dreadful.
What?
I found a spider on the wall.
He's a splat on the wall spider now. Aw.
Holy shit, he's got some good-sized stains on him.
Oof.
We're gonna leave him alone. With some dying keys. But yeah, that was just really weird, though, because... Okay, so... I guess I'd have to explain the layout of the house.
Okay.
The layout is... I was in the kitchen, which faces the back door.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the front door, just on the other side of the kitchen.
Okay.
There's a den right next to that. There's a dining room, and then there's a living room.
Okay.
So everything, I was facing the back door, and something was walking behind me in the house. In the hallway.
I hope you've enjoyed sitting around the campfire and chatting with me and Mike and Drew. The ZS folks are a great bunch of people. Please visit Zombie Squad at zombiehunters.org, where their motto is... We make dead things deader. Please join me next time when we'll travel back in time to ancient Egypt. We'll learn to walk like an Egyptian the next time we go... Lights out.